Today on the Pastor's Study, our study is entitled Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. But before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this opportunity to come to open up thy very words that you preserved, inspired, and inerrant in the good old King James Bible, Lord. Father, we pray that the saint of God listening today would be edified and lifted up and strengthened by our study today. And we pray for the lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ, that's never called upon his name, that's never trusted in his shed blood alone and nothing else to pay the price for all his sins and to give him, secure him a home in heaven. We pray this would be the very day of salvation for that individual listening today. Father, we just commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, when people hear of the word baptism, they usually think of water. However, there are seven different baptisms in the Bible, and all are not water. We will be dealing with one of those in this study, and others will be covered in a separate study. The baptism we are dealing with now is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is the baptism that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a physical one, such as with water, but rather a spiritual baptism that takes place at the time of salvation. To get an idea of the origin of this baptism and its relation to the Holy Ghost, we need to go back to the time of John the Baptist and see what the Bible says. Now, John was baptizing with water according to the Old Testament Jewish water baptism. And then, when Jesus appeared, John told the crowd, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. And then he later described the event in John chapter 1, in verses 32 to 34. And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Now, John makes it plain in these verses that this baptism of the Holy Ghost is something new and different, and it comes with Jesus. With that beginning, let us look first into the purpose of Jesus coming to earth, and then more detail on this new baptism. First of all, we look at why he came. Jesus came to take away the sins of the world, according to John. Jesus further verified this himself when he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost," in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. You see, God sent Jesus to provide a way for us to get rid of the dead spirit we inherited from Adam. God further ordained that Jesus would be the only way to obtain that born-again spirit necessary for salvation. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be tested in due time." And then Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So Jesus is the one and only way to salvation, and baptism of the Holy Spirit comes with that salvation. Now let's review some things about salvation from a previous study on the Trinity, which covered the three elements necessary for salvation. The first necessary element for salvation we saw was conviction. Conviction. A person must understand and believe that they are a sinner. The second essential element for salvation is repentance. In other words, be willing to turn away from that sin in the heart. And then finally, the third element necessary for salvation is trust Christ. By faith, trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Next, we want to look at Holy Ghost baptism. Once these conditions are met, a person is born again and baptized by the Holy Ghost. To get a good understanding of what takes place this time, one should study the following scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, which says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." All right. We know which Lord is the right one. Amen? And we know which faith is the right one. But if there is more than one baptism, which is the right one? The scripture here says there is only one. But we will show you a verse that shows more than one. So what's going on? Let's check it out. Matthew chapter 3 with me. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 3. And when you get to Matthew chapter 3, let's look at verse 11. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, we read, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Here we find three different baptisms: water, Holy Ghost, and fire in one verse. But we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, it said there was only one. And since we know the Bible does not contradict itself, there is only one conclusion. The simple answer is there is only one real baptism, and that is saving baptism that puts you into Jesus Christ, and that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. John indicated that Jesus was bringing something more important than his Old Testament water baptism, which was to manifest Christ to Israel. Look at it in John chapter 1. and we see the purpose behind John's baptism. John chapter 1 with me in verse 31. John 1, 31. And I knew him not, but he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. Also note that John's baptism is before the blood atonement and resurrection of Christ that ushered in the new covenant of salvation by grace through faith. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Look at with me what it says here. It tells you and I how we are saved. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. You can never get the Bible straight, my friend, until you learn to rightly divide the word as we're instructed, commanded to, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. In fact, the King James Bible is the only English translation that has the word study. We're commanded in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. People under the Old Testament covenant, Old Testament saints, were in different dispensations of salvation than the New Testament saints who fall under the New Covenant. There was an element of works required for salvation before the blood atonement, but not afterward. And this too will be covered in a separate lesson. So you see, you need the spiritual baptism, not the physical one, for salvation. One proof text for that is, in fact, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. We read, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Notice the capital S in Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, that does the baptizing and puts you into Christ's body. You see, it takes more than water to take you back to Calvary with Christ. Look at in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 with me. In verse 3, we read, know you not that so many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. There's another one. Amen. Looking in 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19. We read, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Amen. You must understand that redemption comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. And without his baptism of the Spirit, you cannot be saved and belong to him. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of us. Romans 8, verse 9. There are many who would still say that you must be baptized in water to be saved. So what about water baptism? That is a future study in a series, in this series of studies. However, it is necessary at this time to give you a very brief explanation to keep you from being confused. Water baptism is simply a type or picture of the real baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look in 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. We read the following. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So see, it is a like figure or a physical picture of what happened spiritually when a person was saved. The water washing away of the filth of the flesh, a bath, does nothing toward salvation. But rather, the water baptism is showing a good conscience towards God, since he commanded us to do so after we were saved. To put it another way, John's Old Testament water baptism typified the spiritual baptism that was to come under the new covenant, the same way the Old Testament Jewish physical circumcision typifies the spiritual circumcision that comes with the Holy Spirit baptism in new covenant times. So, if you can imagine before you a chart, a simple chart, or two columns. The first column we'd have Old Testament. And under that column we'd have water baptism, and then physical circumcision. The column to the right of it, we'd have New Testament. And under New Testament, we'd have listed spiritual baptism, spiritual circumcision. Let's look at what happens. Now, let's look at how spiritual baptism puts you in Christ. And what changes take place? Since you must be changed, God operates on you. That's right. You are spiritually circumcised by an operation made without hands. Your sinful, unclean body is put away from the soul, which is sealed under the day of redemption, according to Ephesians 4, verse 30. Now, we've looked at these verses that I'm going to talk about in just a moment before. But let's read Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 through 4. Let's turn there, Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 through 4, together. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein are you risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Again, Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. Now, what you and I have just read is an account of the spiritual circumcision and the Holy Ghost baptism you receive when you're saved. These five verses are loaded with the truth you need to understand salvation. Now let's look at some points brought out in the text. First of all, you are complete in Christ. Nothing else is needed for salvation. Next, the circumcision is spiritual because it is done without hands. Third, the sinful body is put off from the soul and spirit and is reckoned dead. And then finally, number four, your sins were blotted out at the cross. All I can say is thank God for spiritual circumcision. Amen and amen. As we mentioned earlier, the spiritual circumcision commanded for the Old Testament Jew was a type or picture of the New Testament. Spiritual circumcision to come later. As a point of interest, the physical circumcision performed by the Jews under the law was done on the eighth day from birth. And God probably chose this day because blood clots better on the eighth day than any other time. Also, it is significant that eight is a number of new beginning in the Bible. Therefore, as the child is beginning a new life, so is the newborn Christian starting afresh spiritually as a new creature in Christ. Now, here are some things we want to look at, some verses. Here are some things that happen when you are baptized by the Holy Ghost. Amen. First of all, your spirit is quickened. Your spirit is quickened. In Ephesians chapter 2 with me, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Another thing that happened when you were baptized by the Holy Ghost, you are baptized into Christ. You are baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3 with me, verse number 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Not only that, you are married to Christ. You are married to Christ. Romans chapter 7 with me. Romans chapter 7. Look with me in Romans chapter 7 to verse 4. Romans 7, 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to that law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Not only that, your spirit is joined to Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse number 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And we've seen before in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Also, your soul is saved. Your soul is saved. Matthew 16 verse 26, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 39. Another thing that happens when you're baptized by the Holy Ghost, you are seated in heavenly places. You are seated in heavenly places. Look with me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Also, you become a new creature in Christ. Ephesians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Not only that, you are crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 2, in verse number 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then according to Romans 6, verse 11, your body is now dead to sin. So this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, you must be born again. The spirit that was born dead because of Adam's sin is now quickened and alive and joined to the living God. What a wonderful gift from our great God to those who will receive it. Like someone once said, if you are born again, you are born twice. Therefore, you only die once. But if you are only born once, you will die twice. Once a natural death, and again in the lake of fire. So, be sure you are born again and get in the family of God. In the process of salvation, we have studied the soul was saved, the spirit was born again, and both sealed unto the day of redemption. However, the body is yet to be redeemed, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Obviously, if the body was made perfect at the time of salvation, you would never get sick or grow old. The truth is that even saved, sanctified, godly people get sick, grow old, and the body eventually fails and dies. The day of redemption of the body will be at the time of the rapture, when all those who are saved will meet Jesus in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. At that time, the saved will get their new perfect body like Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall all see him as he is. So, my dear friends listening today, you should now have a good understanding of spiritual baptism. Well, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.